She's Not Mine, a play by Rosalind McDonough.
Jane is my secretary, a lovely young one with great potential. I told her to clear the diary for the next few months because I'd have to do a particular piece of work, stressing that it was strictly confidential. She laughed. She thought I was covering up for the minister, that there was some big scandal afoot. In the middle of her smirking and laughing, I had to check her. She was taken aback. I said it was serious. Back in my office, I shut the door. The files were open, but I couldn't even bear to start reading. Down in the canteen, people were looking at me as if I got a promotion. Some big job that I should be delighted with. I didn't tell anyone how much I was dreading what they were asking me to do. 24 years in the service. 7 promotions. I was top of my game. It was no surprise to anyone that I got landed with reading the files. Others would make notes, but I'd be asked to read the most severe abuse cases. During those months, my world got smaller. The worry became bigger and bigger. The possibility, my fear, it just seemed to take over. Clarity had left me. Conscience had given way to confusion. That night, I finished work at 7 in the evening. The files were piling up. Each case was more horrific than the next. I went into a pub and ordered a brandy, then another. What I read during the day, I just felt my stomach open. Of children being starved, being beaten, raped, and God knows what. The men in the office were trying to cover it up in a subtle way, of course. They were talking about what might happen if all the allegations were true. The financial implications. The government and church. The media were onto us as well. Mel's order was implicated.
I arranged to meet her before she had a chance to start putting in calls. Vera was like that. She'd used the civil service, her position, to intimidate my secretary. The refusal by her to come to the convent made me nervous. I asked her if it was a conflict of interest, us meeting, what with the inquiry and all. She snapped, "It's not about the job, and you know that." That shut me up. This woman. I'd known her all my life. Normally I could predict her reaction to anything I said or did, but this particular day there was a different tone to her voice on the phone. She was making demands on me, letting me know she was in charge. While I was getting ready, I made speeches up in my head. Things that I've wanted to say to Vera. But I suppose I knew she had the upper hand now, and she was loving it. Oddly enough, I'm not saying I felt afraid or guilty. I had nothing to feel guilty about. That's what we told each other, those of us that were still alive. All I'm saying is that when it's someone you know, there's a different form of guilt. There's a different form of resentment. Then I thought, just for a second, I just thought, Vera, let's put our money together and just go somewhere. Take me away from all this. Be the friend to me that I was to you. Softness wasn't part of my makeup. Pulling myself together, reminding myself it was only Vera Murphy I was meeting. Who was she anyway? My brain was always bigger than hers, and she knew that. Deciding what to wear, the thought struck me that we had a strange friendship. 'Twasn't built on kindness or mutual respect. All that's too modern. That's not how we were reared. I suggested a hotel, but no, she wanted a pub after work. I'd say it was either before her first brandy, or else she was building up a thirst. That's another thing about Vera, her drinking. That's what has her the way she is. I suppose, what else does she have? Though we all tried to tell her to move on, she had plenty of opportunity to get some man to marry her. But no, she was happy to live in her own misery and blame it on other people. She hid behind that job, thinking people didn't notice, or the odd glass of wine or sip of brandy. Sure, a woman like her needed it, holding state secrets in her briefcase. Now, with my coat on, heading for Dublin, Vera Murphy was the first one who made me realise it might be some time before I could wear a habit in public. Others had stopped wearing it many years ago. But I liked it. The power and prestige. In recent years, well, I have to admit, people didn't hold their counsel or even hold the door open for you. But the habit, for me, whether they respected, rejected or hated me for it, when I didn't wear it, I felt naked, invisible, like I was no one. On the way to meet Vera, I pulled the car in to get petrol. The oddest thing, I found myself hiding my cross inside my clothes. The headlines on the newspapers, the radio talk shows, where do you hide? I kept thinking, if she got drunk enough, maybe she'd mellow, slip up on something and tell me what was to come next, what the powers that be were planning. But not Vera Murphy. All she wanted to know was what I had done to Caroline. I asked her, should she not be concerned about all the children? It was in that sentence that I realised this woman was out for revenge. She asked me specific questions. I told her, you're not in a position to judge me. Again, she kept using the phrase, my daughter. I told her she didn't want her daughter 30 years ago. She would have happily killed it if it wasn't for me. Both of us knew our voices were being raised. I told Vera this wasn't the place. She said there was no place anymore for me to hide. I reminded her I hid her 30 years ago for 6 months when the bump started showing. She couldn't go back to Sligo. I told her mother, Vera's busy with work. She can't come home this weekend, Mrs. Murphy. None of this mattered now. Vera was on a roll. I told her, you can say what you like. Nobody wanted those children. We fed them, watched them and reared them. She turned to me, eyes blazing. What else did you do to them? What was so difficult about meeting in the convent?
You're lucky I'm meeting you at all. These days, you're not the most popular woman to have a conversation with.
Who the hell do you think you're talking to? I know everything about you, Vera Murphy.
And soon the world will know everything about you and your secrets.
Me and Vera Murphy relied and depended on each other. Holidays. Well, I'd no one else to go with. And it wasn't as if she had a whole lot of friends either. Italy, south of France. We did whatever we wanted to do. In the early years when I started moving up the ranks in the order, as well as the increased responsibility, I got my own freedom. I'd be a fool not to enjoy it. Look, all I'm saying is the holidays. In those early years, I had to ignore Vera Murphy's behaviour. Oh, yes, I did take a glass or two of wine. She encouraged me. And the ones back home, sure, Vera wasn't going to tell them. In later years, she wasn't too bad. The friendship with Vera Murphy, it came at a price. I'd remind her of that. And let me tell you, she would have never got to principal officer if it wasn't for me keeping her on the straight and narrow, telling her to keep away from the drink.
Well, you know a lot about secrets, don't you? You carried enough in your life. Whatever I've done, whatever they say I've done, it was a response to what women like you did. Women like me. Mel, the world has moved on. What I did was nothing. Nothing compared to what you did.
What are you saying, Vera? The woman who didn't know which man made her pregnant? The one who had so many she didn't know what his name was? Then the one that had ideas of going to England? And you're telling me you did nothing wrong?
I didn't go to England, did I? You talked me out of that. Why? So that you could lord it over me all those years? Or so that you could punish my child for what I did? For having the life you never had? No man ever wanted you, Mel.
You've lost the run of yourself. Let me remind you that you didn't want that child. Even before you knew it was the way it was.
Oh,
and I hate to hurt you like this, but it was all over Sligo before you were 21. You were loose and easy. Men may not have wanted me because I wasn't like you, Vera. I wouldn't give them anything. But you gave them everything with a smile.
Like I said, the world has moved on. Sex isn't such a big sin anymore. And that's something you'll never understand or know. I'm not interested in your sanctimonious, self-righteous nonsense. Nobody is. All I want to know is, what did you do to my daughter?
Oh.
What did you do to my Caroline?
Your daughter. Is that how it is? After 30 years, you're calling her your daughter. I remember in that hospital, you didn't even want to look at her. You didn't even come to the christening. I asked you what name you wanted. I was hoping you'd call it after your mother. But no, you had no interest in that child, let alone a name. So don't start with this my daughter nonsense. You didn't rear her, feed her, teach her how to wipe her own nose.
You've no idea. You've absolutely no idea how much you're implicated. Stop hiding behind your order and some system that even you don't believe in. Tell me what you did to her. Tell me now, Mel. Just between me and you. Don't wait for some big hearing. Just tell me what you did to my little girl.
Like I said, nobody wanted those children. We did what we had to do. Some of them were more difficult than others, and your little brat was in that category. We did the best we could. We taught them right from wrong, gave them a chance. And now, because the world has changed, we're guilty of something that wasn't expected or asked of us.
Jesus, Mel, it's me. You have to tell me. For years it crossed my mind how she was, but I couldn't ask. Why wouldn't you let me have a photograph? Do you remember all the times I plagued you? One lousy photograph. I just wanted some part of her, but you said no. No, no, no. What was that about? No system told you to do that. That was just you.
You gave her to me. She was mine, and then you were asking for her back. I wasn't going to give her to you. She was my child.
Oh.
You gave her to me, and that's how I understood it. I said it then, and I'm saying it now. Wanting photographs, you wanted visits, all that maudlin. It wasn't going to help the child. You weren't going to take her. Your life was already made. You'd no room for a daughter, let alone a daughter like her. The thing about it is, Vera, I did what was best for Caroline. I kept her away from you so as not to be confused. Is that such a bad thing? Did I do that wrong? And yes, I did it for her, not for you, Vera Murphy.
Please, Mel. A lifetime of friendship. Please tell me something more than this. Tell me you were angry, tell me you were envious, tell me you were lonely, but don't tell me that that was about love. And don't you dare say that my daughter Caroline was yours. Don't you dare.
We did our best. I did my best. And if you want to use the word love, well, that's what it was. Not the soft, stupid kind that you went looking for in a man. The kind of love we gave those children made them strong for life, made them independent, made them know their place in the world. Vera, our job was real. There was no fluffy psychology. No, we didn't go around telling them how beautiful or great they were. We taught them how to survive. There were so many of them. They got unruly. And just like your father used to say, a little bit of discipline can bring you very far in life.
Jesus, you've lost it. Is that the way you rationalise it? You're not going to tell me anything, are you? There's no point. You were always like that, always right, always the smart one. Oh, the Order knew what they were getting when they accepted you.
Last weekend, the phone never stopped. Nieces I never knew I had. Nephews, pups, saying they were freelance. They wanted something off the record. Family. When they get to my age, they'll realise that family connection, it means nothing. The phone calls. Oh, I'll meet you for lunch. You and my mother were neighbours. Would you do an on-camera piece for the 6 o'clock news? Clear your name. But that's what got on my nerves. These people forget. Nobody else wanted these type of children. They weren't exactly dotes. Particularly Vera's one. Vera didn't want her own. Or she was busy making history in the civil service while we were rearing her little yoke of a daughter. Vera Murphy told me the father, whoever he was, made her do it. But I know her. She was always gamey, couldn't wait to get out of Sligo after she let all the young fellas in the area have a go on her. Oh, she'd tell you a different story. Oh, but her poor mother. We all knew Vera Murphy had to be watched. A very different woman now to what she was then. Then she followed me to Dublin. Her father had a word in the school and she got extra classes in order for her to do the civil service exams. But the rest of us didn't have fathers that could have words with the nuns. She brags about being one of the first women to join the civil service. All the bragging. Well, she was always loose, in every way, going into men's roles as well as their beds. Oh, that was another thing about Vera. Right up until the day her mother and father were buried, she bad-mouthed them. They did all they could for her. We met a couple of times in Dublin when she followed me up first. She was ashamed of me.
because I was a novice.
What are they going to do to me? What's going to happen? What are they saying? Each day, each night, I'm losing bits of myself. Bits of my memory. Bits of dignity. You know me, Vera. Over the years, I never asked much of you. Now, I'm asking, please.
You really are afraid, aren't you? They were afraid too. But you went after them, you picked on them, you bullied them. And now you're asking me to help you. Mel, I can't. It's over. It's over for us. And it's over for you.
The idea was we'd mess with disabled girls. Not in a bad way. Mess is the wrong word. I would have never even looked at girls like Caroline. Part of the package of mainstream education, you tend to look down on other disabled people. Well, apart from the lads I played sport with. Sport was different. That was pride. Caroline. At that party, there was a crowd of them, young ones. The music had stopped playing. They were all asking her to sing, and she did. Dance Me to the End of Love. It was a Leonard Cohen song. I never heard it before. Then she sang another one. Sean started making his moves on her. She wasn't having any of it. I remember he wanted to get off with her. Caroline seemed to hold her body back and get really afraid. Sean kept trying. I said, "Man, she's not into it. Leave her alone." Looking at Caroline, I asked, "Are you all right? How are you getting home?" They were waiting for her. Instinctively, I went over to the car with her. In silence, she just got into the front seat. Her friends were laughing at Sean. He was passed out in my doorway. I waved at Caroline. The other girls waved at me. She just put her head down as the car sped away.
Hotel probably would have been better. I just didn't know what.
Here's fine. I didn't want to meet you. Brian made me do it.
I'm sorry. The letters, they weren't enough.
You never wrote when I was small. I would have loved a Christmas or a birthday card.
I did send them. I sent them to Mel.
She never gave them to me. I used to hate my birthday. It reminded me I'd no one.
The 15th of August, 1980.
30 years of not knowing you, and now you show up. I can't hold it any longer. I'm boiling mad with you.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry for upsetting you. This is not how I wanted it.
How did you want it? What do you want? What can I give you?
Not sure what I want. I was hoping maybe we could start out being friends, get to know one another. I know I can't fill the gap, but I want to have some sort of relationship.
See, this is the problem. All my life, people like you talking down to me.
I'm not talking down to you. Please, I wouldn't do that.
What did you expect? All this... Your letters, you interrupted my life, and now I feel you're trying to take over again. You've the same way as Mel has.
Oh, Jesus, please don't say that. I'm not like Mel. I'm nowhere near like Mel. You have to trust me.
You're asking someone that you shoved into an institution to trust you. And then you're asking me to trust that you're not like Mel. trust a woman that didn't want me. Can you not see what you're doing?
Trust is the wrong word, but I don't know what other word to use. I'm trying to explain. I'm not like Mel.
Nobody can be like Mel. She's one of a kind.
I need to explain something. Something that's bigger than the both of us. It's about the report. Remember, I mentioned it in my letters.
I'm not talking about any of that stuff. And don't try and make me talk or catch me out with your fancy words. If that's what you're expecting, it won't happen.
If you don't tell me, you'll have to tell someone else. There'll be a team of people put together. Judges, a doctor, a lawyer, but you'll have your own lawyer. I just wanted to tell you before you heard it from anyone official. Don't be frightened. People will help you.
Stop. Just stop. What sort of an idiot am I? There was I thinking you were meeting me because I was your daughter. God, how stupid am I? Is that stupid report that was in your letters?
I am meeting you because you're my daughter. The thought of someone hurting you or you having to go through this stuff alone. I just wanted to help.
You're not helping, and I'm not alone. The truth of the matter is this is about you. Guilt. You're like the rest of them. You knew what was going on, and you did absolutely nothing. Not only did you know what was going on, but Mel was your best friend, and you never did anything.
How could I? I did try.
There you go again. Patronising me, thinking I don't understand how difficult it was for you. Just for a second, remind yourself you only read the report. I lived through that. Me and hundreds like me written on those pages. And now we're supposed to feel bad because it's difficult for you to read. Vera, the truth is, I'm backward and stupid. That's what they told me. That's what they wrote about me. And maybe that's how I am. But I don't need you coming back making things worse. Brian read your letters. I asked him to. I wasn't really sure what you were trying to ask me. That's what they've done to me. Made me feel foolish. No confidence. Like, I can't make a decision about anything since you started writing to me. And that can only be a bad thing. I was all right before those letters. Now, me and Brian are gonna break up because of you. He wants to give you a chance, but he's like that, giving everybody chances. Sometimes he's an idiot of a man.
We never quite got over the dinner party episode. I had my suspicions, her and Sean. Cheating wouldn't be a word that I'd use for Caroline, but I knew we were drifting. In the early years, my family, they never actually said it, but because of our history, they kept saying, you've an awful lot of baggage, you're taking on too much. Going out together, moving in together, and eventually asking her to marry me, I kind of always knew she thought I was an idiot. It became really obvious when all this stuff started to spill out. She was hiding letters, acting very strange. Sean seemed to be over all the time, and yet I knew she had no interest in him. Nonetheless, he was closer to her, closer to my wife, and that drove me insane. I handled it all wrong, confronted her. What an idiot I am. Not for a second did I suspect her birth mother would want to get in touch. All the secrets, all the running around, bursting into tears, not wanting to go anywhere, not wanting me, not wanting us, not wanting sex. Looking back, that was probably the biggest clue of all.
Dad, tell me about your life when you were young. About how you got pregnant with me, about Mel. None of that was in your letters.
It was the 70s. I left school and was delighted to get a job in the civil service. All the other girls in my town, well, most of them were heading to England to do nursing training. Except for Mel, who had joined a religious order also in Dublin. I got a flat and started work. I made friends and life seemed good. I'd go home every 2 weeks and bring Mam some money.
Imagine, I never had a granny. Families, when you don't have one, you can never imagine what it's like to be part of one. Brian's family, everything is cosy and rosy. The perfect family.
Well, I didn't have much of a family. That was another reason why I was dying to get away from home. I hated my father. He was a man of his time. Treated my mother, my poor mother, like a dog. And I was damn sure no man would ever do that to me.
Go on. You got away from the family and you came to Dublin. What happened then?
The 70s. They were great days in Dublin if you had a job. I made friends with the work crowd. We used to go to dances. The Dublin girls used to laugh at us country ones. We'd be still trying to go to ballroom dances while they were heading for discos and live music. Heavy rock stuff. My crowd, sure. We were all still in love with Joe Dolan.
Were you a good dancer? Were you into clothes? Did you never go back to Sligo?
Ah, there was nothing much for me in Sligo.
When people asked me where I was from, I never knew what to say. As I get older, I just say I'm from Dublin. Brian says we might have a weekend away in Sligo one of these days. Go on. Tell me more about that time in your life.
The job was always what mattered to me. Yes, ambition. That too. I bought my own car. A new Mini. My father hated it. Said it was a death trap. I had my eye on nobody, and nobody had their eye on me. But I had plenty of company. And the girls I shared the flat with.
Did he want to marry you? Did you know him? Was he from Sligo or Dublin? Do you still know him now?
No, I didn't know him. I'm not even sure where he was from. He was at a party. I knew I didn't have to do very much to get his attention. He did it all. I remembered the date. He was good looking. I can see bits of him in you. Your eyes. His eyes were blue as well. I went along with it. Ah, the long and the short of it was, he said, "Are you right?" I said yes, not knowing what else to say. This is back in his flat. He was on top of me, doing what men do, while I was trying to figure out the lyrics of the Joan Baez song in the next room.
Did he even know that you were pregnant?
You have to understand, it was a different Ireland, a different world. He was no use to me, I knew that.
Did you think of...
I even got a ticket for the boat. It was Mel, Sister Mel, that stopped me.
How did you know Mel?
We'd been to school together. All the way up. She knew all my secrets, though I never knew any of hers. That time in Dublin, I had nobody, so I went to Mel. She helped me, and she never let me forget it. Hiding the bump for the last few months was really difficult. I thought about telling Mam, but sure, I knew she'd tell Dad and he'd take it out on her. Mel organised me, and when the final part came, she was there. Even in school, she looked down on me. So when I asked for help from her, it was like she expected it and was delighted to lord it over me. I remember at the time thinking it was easier to give the child to her than to a stranger or a social worker. She wanted a child more than me.
She would have been a very bad mother, a dangerous mother.
She was in a crisp white habit, I'm sure the nurses thought Mel was some battle-axe nun helping an unmarried mother. Well, not so much helping, but bossing.
In school, she bossed everyone. Even the other nuns, the young ones. Some of them were kind, but Mel used to tell them not to be soft. Then why did you get in touch? What came over you? I'm 30. You're not dying of anything, are you? You're not sick or something?
No, I'm not sick. Well, not in that way. I wanted to ask you. I wanted to tell you things. Explain things if I could.
I've almost lived half my life without you. Without your help. Why would I need it now?
An affair was the first thing that came into my mind. Well, it was obvious to me anyway. When she spilled it out, the mopping up couldn't be done. Everything I said was wrong. Telling her to go for therapy, telling her to talk to Mel, eventually telling her to go and see her mother. That was it. That's how our marriage ended. She said, "You don't understand. You've no idea what it's like." And the worst of all, she said, "You're just like everyone else. You want to fix me. Tell me it never happened. See a therapist so I can talk the truth out of myself so that I won't believe it." After that, she had no respect for me. I tried everything, even Sean. I met him for a couple of pints and he just froze when I asked what happened in that school they were in. What did they do to my wife? The funny thing is, she's meeting her birth mother this morning. Guess who's waiting outside for her? Guess. Her consoler and minder, Sean. They've history. History that I don't know or understand. Over the years, there were always jokes about how I was so perfect. The perfect family, perfect childhood. Caroline used to say, "You didn't get the perfect wife." Her childhood was something we talked about, but really, she gave very little away. Opening up to me was difficult for her, and I did try and listen. Obviously, I hadn't been listening at all. The beatings. Caroline mentioned names of some of the lads. They were on my basketball team, and poor Sean. I had no idea what they'd been through. She talked about everything as if it was about somebody else, anybody else but her.
Tell me about me. What did you know about me? Why did you never send me anything? Did you know what I looked like? How can you just forget about your own child?
Maybe I was too weak and Mel had too much power. She said you were okay without me. And I believed her.
You weren't really that desperate, or were you?
Desperate? Yes, I was. Desperate enough to give my own child up. Oh, it's not easy to understand, but she had power over me. She was a nun from my hometown.
Even if you didn't have an abortion, you could have went to England. We could have had some sort of life.
It's not that simple. Mel did hurt me in many, many ways over the years.
How? What did she do?
Mel said I should stop trying to get into your life. It was too confusing for you. And like a fool, I believed her. Still, she never said stop sending money. Not even one photograph. I asked her so many times. After all these years, you think it's because of the report. That's just made me want to meet you more. But for the last 15 years, I tried. Trying isn't enough. Thinking about you, wondering about you, asking Mel. Your age, my age, I thought it wouldn't happen. Somewhere in my mind, I was half afraid you'd love Mel. Selfish, I know. The stuff in the report, I knew there was going to be some sort of legal redress board. Your institution was on every page. I couldn't sleep at night. Caroline, it's not nearly what I could have done or what I should have done, but I wanted to meet you. I confronted Mel, and that gave me the strength to ask for a meeting. Finally, you agreed.
Were you at the christening?
No. After 5 days, I handed you over to Mel. She took care of all that. The christening, everything.
And the years in between. What happened? When did you know I am the way I am with cerebral palsy?
When you were 5, Mel rang me in work. She told me on the phone. She refused to meet me. You had been diagnosed with a condition. She used the word spastic. To tell you the truth, I think she was happy that I didn't have a perfect child. That I got that wrong too.
It was her that had something wrong with her.
She said there was no point in making contact with you. I was told they were having trouble trying to find a family that would adopt.
I didn't need much. You could have managed. We could have managed.
Mel assured me you'd be fine. You'd be put into a special school run by her order and she'd watch out for you.
So that's it. Mel bullied you and she bullied the rest of us. And you're coming back asking how much she affected me. There must be something else. You ignored me for 30 years.
I knew you'd be angry with me. I rang the agency every 2 weeks. I was often tempted to get Mel involved, but realised women like her have no real influence anymore. They kept repeating, "Vera, we've made contact, but the young woman hasn't replied, and that's her right." Oh, I used to hate that. The young woman. You were my daughter, not some random young one.
I'm not sure anything. No, I'm not your daughter.
I answered everything you asked me in the best way I could. These were the reasons I did what I did. I'm so very, very sorry.
You're sorry? Guess what? I'm sorry too. Have you any idea? The letters were fine, but this shit of wanting to see me, I don't understand.
The letters, I wasn't sure. I couldn't ask. How do you ask? And you never mentioned anything.
You want the list. The list of what happened. That's what you really want, isn't it? Well, I wasn't keeping a diary. Anyway, what would come first? A sense of abandonment from my mother? Then I'd work my way down. I'd have to ask myself, who hurt me the most? My mother or the nuns? Sister Mel or you? If the abuse report wasn't coming out, would I even cross your mind? What if there's no list? Would that mean you're off the hook? Your conscience could rest. Now I know why you're here. It was all about you. You, your job. In my letters, I made up all of it. The kindness of nuns, the lovely sister Mel, the good job I had. The truth was...
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
My manners. Mel would kill me now if she saw the way I was acting. Even at my age, she still has power over me. She's not even in my life. I've never told anyone this. I've held it inside of me, but imagine Brian. He made me invite her to our wedding. Between you and me, it might be the only secret we ever have, but I wanted to kill him for suggesting that. I went along with it. The wedding pictures, that's why he wanted Mel there. When I hear you saying sorry, I'm not sure what you mean. Which bit are you sorry for? Dumping me with the nuns, not getting in touch. I was so lonely. That's what it did to me. It made me lonely and needy. Just like you.
You're not like me. To survive what you've lived through takes courage and strength.
That's what strangers say. They're only referring to my CP. The truth is, it's the mundane details of living that are unmanageable. You never think of sleeping. That's when I feel most afraid. Eating, I either eat too much, eat too little, or don't eat at all. Then my biggest worry, my CP. As I age, I'll have to go back into some sort of institution. Will it happen all over again? The nuns, without their uniforms, other people like you, Vera. You're no different to Mel. You didn't want a disabled daughter. Whatever way you dress it up, you didn't really care about the stigma and shame of being a single parent.
Your CP had nothing to do with it. Maybe my choices were wrong, but I made them with good intentions.
Was your intention to forget about me? Pay a nun off and you just carried on with your life? Was that how it was? Your lovely friend Mel. Well, let's just say you don't make it to matron of a special school on the virtues of kindness. Did you know that kids who were orphans were treated worse? Orphans, travellers, Protestants and poor children. I won't even tell you what they thought of kids who were made outside of marriage.
The sexual thing. She told me they did what they wanted to the children. She explained the older children, teenagers, they in turn would do it to each other. In bathrooms, girls with all sorts of disabilities were pushed up against the wall. Caroline said there was always more than one lad involved. It was the next question, the most obvious, but I just couldn't bring myself to ask her. The next day was Sunday. We hadn't slept much. I read the letters out loud to her, like she'd asked. I took Monday and Tuesday off work just to be with her. We drove out the country past the old institution. It never occurred to me until then that we should have done it earlier, but really I had no idea. Then everything made sense. The letters. Her mother wanted to meet her. What do you say? What do you tell someone you love? How do you ask them which part of the story is theirs? Which part of the abuse happened to you? All of it? Some of it? Or none of it? Then she told me, Mel, Sister Mel, had rubbed excrement on her face because Caroline had caught diarrhea the night before her communion. She was 7.
That day when Sister Imelda said there was no need for me to have my hair put in wrinkles like the other girls, it would take too much time. I was lucky to have a veil. That was the day in my life that I stopped believing I had a mother.
I sent money. I sent Mel a dress for you and shoes.
Mel put it on somebody else. She said I would dirty it. It built it up in my head that maybe you'd come. I even told the other girls my mammy's coming. But she didn't. For weeks afterwards, the girls were laughing at me. They'd be singing, "Where's your mama gone?" Even Mel. I still remember she said, "She's too busy for your communion. Your mother has no decency or responsibility."
There's nothing that you've said that I haven't asked myself. It was now or never. I can't lie. I just didn't want a baby. And then later on, when I heard...
When you heard what? When you heard what, Vera? What did Mel tell you?
Mel said you were as bright as a button. All the talk in the world and all the explanations won't make sense of where we are now. I could have kept on writing, but there were things I needed to know. Things that Mel couldn't be asked.
She was so cruel to some of the girls. Not just me, some of the other ones. She beat the shit out of us for no reason. Locked us in bathrooms overnight. Constantly telling us that we're useless. Good for nothing. That nobody had ever wanted us and nobody ever would. Every day. All the time. She took everything we had inside us and turned us into nothing. Now you're about to tell me that she destroyed you too. That's not good enough. I don't care what Mel did to you.
When you were 11 or 12, she told me you were beautiful. She said you were independent. Not that great at school, but very good at everything else.
The only reason I was no good in school was they kept me back. Put me in a classroom with 3-year-olds, drawing pictures. Then as I got older, knitting and sewing. Real good skills for someone like me.
But you went back. You did your leaving and you got your degree.
No thanks to special school. They just wrote me off like you did. Wiped me out of the picture. For years and years, I sit in front of a mirror and try to imagine who I looked like. Anybody that came into the institution to visit other kids, I used to stare at them. Then when I got older, you know, out in the real world, as they say, I used to look at people, random strangers, women in shops. I used to look at them and try and see if there was any of me in them. It wasn't Christmas Day or birthdays or even Mother's Day. Do you want to know when it was? Mammy, that's what I would have called you. I would have said, "Mammy, I got my period." That was the only day I ever wished that I was like everyone else. But I wasn't, was I? Not even on my wedding day did I miss you. Isn't it odd for a daughter to say that? We have the same hands, the same size. I don't paint my nails. Do you paint yours?
No, I don't paint my nails. It was never because...
I don't care. Lots of people, even nowadays, don't want to have disabled children. You're not that special, so don't go thinking you are.
Did anything else happen to you?
You've no right to ask me that. Brian said it must have been hard for women like you. Key soft. Maybe you thought I was stupid. Like I said, You read the report. I lived it. You're just as guilty as the rest of them. Vera, this is about you. You're in that report more than I am. If you had left me alone instead of coming back, your guilt shouldn't intrude on my life. I lived in the shithole of a Catholic institution. You left me 30 years ago and now I'm leaving you.
I did try. All those years, I never forgot I had a daughter. Oh, you're right. Maybe I didn't try hard enough. I was hoping something half normal would come out of all this. Is that so wrong? Wanting to make it up? Wishing things were different between us.
What are you talking about? This isn't about the report. It's about me and you.
That was She's Not Mine by Rosalind McDonough, with Liz Fitzgibbon as Caroline. Bernadette McKenna played the birth mother Vera, Deirdre Monaghan, Sister Mel, and Andrew Bennett was Brian. Sound supervision was by Mark McGrath. The dramaturg was Jesper Bergman. She's Not Mine was produced by Aidan Matthews.